listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
That was Joe Mazzulla, who we can get into this another day, another time, but I like more and more. He has grown more and more on me.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying him coaching, talking, leading, pushing buttons that we've talked about with players.
When they're winning.
He's different.
Yeah. No, not even that. Like, I guess that. If they, you're right. If they were down 1-3 to the Magic, would I be like, Joe Mazzulla, I really love what he's doing.
If they were 37-45 and missed the playoffs, we still wouldn't be circulating Mazzulla-isms.
Right. But he... I appreciate the, and I guess we're talking about it now here on WEEI Afternoons, I appreciate the way he embraces Celtics, the lore, the legend, the history, the pressures, but the opportunities. Like, I think that's cool. Like,
well, I think
all of that.
And also, I would back you in that, that if the players like him, that's always, okay, what am I missing? If I don't like him, what is it? Because the players... resonate with him. The players like him.
And
so I need to start seeing what the players see in him.
And I kind of didn't like him his first year. And he has grown on me. So maybe there is some of that too, because they were loyal to him. They did like him, especially Tatum. And so now he's grown on me. Two for Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. That means if you were listening this morning, I have a question for you. Be caller number 9 now to the contest line at 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, which was given out on the Greg Hill Show, 7 o'clock this morning, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Rangers on May 7th. That's two tickets. Tickets to see Sox Rangers May 7th, Fenway Park, 617-931-0937 with today's code word. And before we get to the Celtics and their big game tonight, I do want to get back to the phone lines. Tony from Bridgewater has been hanging on for a while here to talk about Bill Belichick. Tony, what was your reaction to what's going on with Bill Belichick?
I've always stuck up for Bill because I just, you know, like him as a coach, but he's lost his cookies. And, that, you know, the only this guy, the only thing he's guilty of, to be honest with you, and I don't know, maybe her Tortellini winks, but he's just whipped. And he seems like he's lost in a cocoon or something like that. You know, I think he's lost his mind a little bit.
All right, thanks for the call, Tony.
Can I put it a certain way for people?
Sure.
What's going on here, maybe the dynamics.
Okay.
Bill isn't that different than, you know how many players struggle once they're done with football? Post-career, they just... the real world is intimidating. It's scary. They lack self awareness. They're used to the football culture and community is so vastly different from anything else. And once you are out of that, even though he's at UNC, I mean he's been out of pro football for a year and a half, but he's had to transition into this kind of real world thing, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's like the rest of us that retire and go, holy crap, how does this all work? What, I got bills to pay? And he needs help. He's got to have someone with him to help to pay the bills, probably, to help with just things, that, what I call RPTs, regular people things, that I struggled with. He probably struggled with the same. So he's so needy of someone like a Jordan that he empowers that person hugely. If they're going to show some loyalty to him, And they're going to help him kind of coordinate his life, then he's going to show loyalty to them. And so I think that's a similar dynamic, is that he's kind of lost like the rest of us when we retire from the sport that we've been in for so long.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And obviously you speak from experience, and we've heard all kinds of stories of players. And I would ask you a question from your experiences, from your teammates' experiences, guys you've seen. If you put your trust in the wrong person post-career or people, advisors, don't you often end up in trouble,
in
a bad place financially or career-wise, whatever?
Yeah.
And maybe that's what he's doing. Because I do think you're right. He's at North Carolina, but he's not in professional football. He's in a totally different world than where he is the man, familiar with the structure, the whole thing. And that's an interesting point that you bring up there. And I do wonder if he's got the wrong person that he's put his faith in for whatever reason. I thought you were going down a totally different road when you said Bill's not a lot different than a lot of us men. I thought you were going...
I've heard a lot of people say
Bill is doing the thinking for Big Bill kind of thing.
That's true, too.
There's some truth to that. But it's just decompressing from the game of football into the real world and transitioning is a struggle for so many players. And the longer you play, I think the harder it is to transition.
Yeah.
And so Bill's been coaching his whole life, and so he's you're seeing maybe some of the results of him being in this cocoon for so long. Now that he's out of it, you know, it is like it's scary to him a little bit, and he just doesn't know how to handle it.
Well, what if he? Okay, so like, let's say, you know, Bill's just a dude who's, you know, trying to feel like he's living forever, wants to be younger. The young lady who's a tad opportunistic finds her way, you know, winnows her way into his life. Which
that
I
is
just,
very diplomatic.
I'm trying to set it up diplomatically for a second. And then he doesn't realize just what a, I won't say black widow, but what a, I don't know how sort of borderline parasitic she can be.
But
like,
this,
is that a possibility, Ted? It starts with a little, I won't benevolence, but like it doesn't begin just, with nefarious intent, and then it gets out of control.
I just think that lets Bill off the hook a little bit to some degree. Like he doesn't know what he's doing completely. I think they're of like minds. I think they've been together for 4 years now, like longer than what people think. And so, I don't know. I mean, I might have said that. You might have maybe could have made that argument a year into the relationship, but 2 years. But he put her name and thanked her in his book. I mean, this is a relationship that has been solid for several years now. So it's just letting him off the hook, I think, a little bit, Fitzy, if you put it that way.
Gotcha. We'll be continuing to talk about Bill Belichick. We're awaiting Jordan's statement. Some people were trying to tell me on the text line, Dan Ball, that the statement was the reposting of the book with his autograph, but that's not a statement. She said full statement coming.
She put out the email and then said full statement released later today.
Okay, so I'm awaiting a full statement. Their comments on this, hers, his, Bill's, whatever. Anyway.
That's my understanding, but I'm also not on her email list, so I don't know.
That's true. Berge's. Maybe Berge will be listening.
And so is Richard at inkwellmanagement.com.
Yes, I noticed that. He was the only one that got, like, outed. Everybody else, it's like Berge.
He's probably thrilled now that everybody has his email address.
He called IT. He's already changed his email address,
I'm sure, man.
You've already requested an interview with him and Jordan.
Did you, by the way, have you sent out an interview request? We got to get Bill on. He's promoting a book. What are we doing?
Gee, do you think we know anybody who knows Bill?
You know what? If I had his number, I would.
You don't have his number?
I do. I don't have his number.
Really?
No. Why would I have Bill Belichick's phone number?
I would have thought you did.
I've been out of the game 18 years.
Yeah, but most people don't change their cell phone number once they have it.
I mean, let me see.
Burner on top of burner.
Let's call him live on air if he
does. Let me see if I have. I'm curious. Do I have Bill?
Let's FaceTime him.
Belichick.
That's what you do when you're really being aggressive.
I have Bill Parcells. No, not Bill Belichick.
You don't have Bill Belichick's number. So you played for him for six years.
Maybe he didn't have a cell phone back then, Andy.
He had it was Nextels back then, and he's since, you know, like Andrewsy had to switch over from the Nextel. All right, well, we'll effort to get Bill Belichick on. We'll see how that goes. Dan Ball, that's on you. Celtics tonight will play the Orlando Magic.
Can't wait.
Up 3-1. 8:40 tip-off, so we're all going to have to... Well, you guys always stay up late. I'm going to have to stay up a little later. My guy Dan Ball tells me that Jason Tatum is really good. So obviously the other day, 37 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Was one of the more remarkable games in postseason history. The only other people, Fitzy, that had games like that are called Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Duncan, Magic, Barkley, Olajuwon, Durant, and Jokic. He added his name to that list. Pretty good list. And Dan Ball tells me that in the 2020s, you know who's first in wins in the postseason?
That would be Jason Tatum.
You know who's first in points?
That would be Jason Tatum.
You know who's first in threes?
That would be Jason Tatum.
Yeah, you sense a trend here. He's also second in rebounds and assists, third in steals, fourth in blocks. He's been tremendous.
Dude, he's played in over 100 playoff games in his career.
The both of them have. I know, I tend to...
Like a season and a half of NBA action in just postseason.
118 or 119, 120 playoff
games. It's not Brady-esque yet, Andy, but like where Tom Brady basically played three extra full seasons of football, but like... Well, it's wild.
It's a season and a third that they're on right now, or whatever
and
it is.
And he might have another eight quality years or more if he takes care of himself like Durant has. Like, there could be another decade of Jason Tatum level dominance to come in the postseason.
So Ted, Fitzy, and I think feel like they're going to close this out. I've been a little optimistic. Not only do I think they're going to close it out, I think this series is going to help them sweep the Knicks. I may be getting a little ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling heading into tonight's game 5? The way they've handled themselves, the physicality, the style, everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's been fun to listen to you guys yesterday because I think you both have kind of differing opinions. You, I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, you feel. Andy, that you like that they're being tested early.
Yes.
Where Fitzy, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you're like, hey, they're getting beat down. This is going to maybe affect them later. Is that fair to say?
I have a concern I have a concern that they may get ground down a little bit, or rather that some of the injuries could pile up. Like, you know, Drew Holiday's now about to miss his third consecutive game, Ted. You don't want Tatum to re-injure the wrist. You don't want Jaylen Brown to re-injure the knee. But as far as playing style and, temerity and tenacity go, like, I think this is battle testing them in the right ways.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I think this is a good thing. And so I'm looking forward to tonight. I do think they close it out tonight. I just, the Celtics from, say, 2 years ago would lose this game. And then they'd have to go back to Orlando and then win in six, right? Last year they won in five. Last year in the first round they won in five. The year, and then the next round they won in five, and then the next round they won in four. Like, they didn't have, it never got to the sixth game ever, right? And so, don't let it get to a sixth game. And I don't mind a physical. I love a physical first round kind of matchup, because I think the Knicks are going to be more physical than people think. And you saw what Cleveland did to Miami. They're going to be ready for you, and OKC is going to be physical. So it is a great test, but just finish them in five. And I don't mind. I don't mind the hard kind of style of basketball that we're seeing. They do push it. There's no question, but they're not backing down. I've seen in the past kind of Tatum back down a little bit from that. I see him kind of pumping out of his chest. It's like, I think winning last year has given Tatum a different vibe for me. I look at him so different. I think he carries himself differently. I don't think people look at him like he's a punk, like they may be used to. He's fighting back, and to me, I love it. And so I think this series has been great for Tatum. I don't like, you mentioned Drew Holiday being injured. I'll say this. If Drew Holiday is injured, or God forbid a Derek White, I think they're in trouble. I don't like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown being as dominant with the ball as they are. I think you play the more you go down these playoffs, the more you need Drew Holiday and Derek White, I think, to handle the ball more. That's what makes me a little bit nervous. So I don't want those two guys in particular to get injured.
I agree, because I think Peyton Pritchard has
a little overwhelmed, knocked around,
hasn't played his best against the Magic, which is a team that's given the Celtics problems, so maybe that's just a one-off with this series. If you want to react to the Celtics, Game 5 tonight, in Boston, 8:40 tip. Do you think they're going to close it out? Are you worried about the physicality? I do know that the Magic are not going to lay down like the Heat did last night. That was one of the most embarrassing performances I've ever seen in professional sports. We're also going to talk Garrett Crochet. Ted's going to yell at me because he thinks I'm putting too much expectation on the plate of the ace here in Boston. I want an ace-like performance against the Blue Jays tonight. Talking Red Sox up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Red Sox in Toronto tonight to take on the Blue Jays, who had a lot of success against them here at Fenway Park earlier in the season.
Boy, did they.
Coming off an off day, you have Garrett Crochet on the mound, and Garrett Crochet coming off not a great performance while we were in Green Bay. He was a little walky, ballsy with his pitches.
Walky, ballsy is exactly how the pitching scientist described. Yep.
Andrew Bailey.
It was a little walky, ballsy. But don't forget, as we learned from our good pal Joe Weil on the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show, Andy, it wasn't just the last start. There were some signs of, warning signs-ish on the start before, because he had more 2-0 counts than strikeouts in his previous start. So, like, there was a little bit of a pitch tip, if you will, that maybe the check engine light was coming on for some reason.
Ted, you want to address that? Because I said he was trending in the wrong direction, and you kind of gave me a look.
I did. And then, I've been in Green Bay for a few days, so I'm kind of all out of whack. But you're right. You reminded me.
Classic cheese curd syndrome.
Yeah. Look, yeah. So he has been struggling to find his spots, right? He's been a little bit loosey-goosey. So, Do I lose faith? No. What I like about him, he's, the mental makeup of an ace isn't just that, you know, they throw a lot of strikes and they are the best pitchers on your baseball team. They are also tough ass competitors. Yeah. More times than not, they just don't back down. They're tough. They grind, and he strikes me as a guy that isn't going to be satisfied unless, you know, he's throwing gas and he's hitting his spots and he's winning games for his baseball team. And so I don't worry about it. Because I just like the mental makeup of what I've seen so far out of Garrett Crochet, which, look, if that would concern, if he's not pitching well and his mental makeup is weak or isn't something where I feel like, okay, this guy doesn't have the self-confidence. But, no, he does. And so I'm okay. He's fine. They're good.
So along those lines, in four appearances, two starts against Toronto, Crochet is 2-1 with a .66 ERA in 13 2/3 innings. You know when that loss was? April 8th. 21 days ago.
Please, please.
So he lost to the Blue Jays when he gave up, I think, 4 runs, only 1 earned, and 5 hits. But if he is what you are talking about, the dog, the competitor, he remembers that because it was a short time ago and probably wants to prove something against a good lineup, right? That's a good lineup that did a better job against them than they probably expected early in the season. And now you have a little counterpunch, redemption time a couple weeks later. So look, step to the plate.
Yeah, or the mound. Garrett's the kind of guy you can just get the sense. Like they gave him a deal when maybe a lot of teams wouldn't. I mean, he certainly has a track record, right? I mean, he just has no
never thrown a complete game in his life, and he just got $200 million bucks.
So it's like he is going to give you everything he's got. He's going to want to prove to all the fans and to the Red Sox that he is worth the investment that they made in him.
And I would like to also add, Andy, that Garrett Crochet was recently talking about the possibility of being discussed as a starter for Team USA for the upcoming World Baseball Classic in the spring of 2026. Hadn't been asked yet, said he would take great pride in that as well. And I feel like the combination of, I feel like I just let my team down, swelling with pride that I'm being mentioned as one of the best starters for America right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he crosses the border and pitches his ass off tonight.
Yeah, and Ted said it, like, I expect most nights that's the result. Like, that's the level he's on, is that you're expect, you know, that contract, his stuff, his ability, that's what you're expecting. It's like Jason Tatum. When Jason Tatum doesn't score 28+, you're like, whoa, 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 what's going on here, right? Like, once you reach that certain level of success and expectation, we're greedy. We want it every night. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. And for an ace, it's every 5 days, and this is his opportunity. Also a little nugget out of Red Sox Nation, ball notes or whatever we want to call them. Did you know who the International League Player of the Week was, Fitzy?
I'm going to guess Roman Anthony.
I am going to say you're wrong, because it's Marcelo Meyer was the International League Player of the Week. Went 9-for-20 with 3 doubles, 3 home runs, 12 RBI, 3 walks in 6 games.
How are you going to keep that? How are you going to validate and justify keeping that guy in Worcester that much longer if he's raking like that?
You know, it gets more difficult. Now, it gets easier when Christian Campbell is awesome and Trevor Story is really good. Yeah. So, you know, if he played first base, he'd be up already. But I don't want him to play first base. Just to clarify for anybody listening, I'm not saying give him a first baseman's mitt and teach. No. He is a shortstop. He's a middle infielder. He might be a third baseman. If any of those positions become available, come on up.
Plus, he'd get in the way of Roman Anthony playing first base.
Well, we got that, too. Or Vaughn Grissom or any of these other guys that they're teaching first base on the fly because Tristan Casas stinks.
Can he catch?
Wait a minute. Hasn't Alex Cora have kind of put that to bed?
Which one?
Just the Vaughn Grissom or the Roman Anthony playing first.
He has.
I thought he slammed that pretty hard.
He's put a lot of things to bed that I don't know are always to bed. Like he put on our show. And speaking of Alex Cora, we'll talk to him 2:30 on Wednesday. He put to bed on our show Rafi Devers ever playing first base. Yeah. And yet Rafi Devers takes ground balls. And why is he taking ground balls? Emergency?
If Alex tells WEI Afternoons something, I'm holding him to it.
He's a smart guy, though. He knows conditions can change.
But back to the Marcelo Meyer, it is, like, where do you put the kid? Like,
Worcester.
Honestly.
Till he's ready. Worcester, like, let him build confidence, continue to rake.
Fitzy's saying he needs to come up right now.
No, I don't need him up right now.
Okay.
When I need him, I'll bring him up.
What lineup in America, Canada, or the world can't use Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony right now? Barrel rates, what's that? Who's
Boston?
Where would you put him, Fitzy? Who do you demote? That's the question.
So we'll answer that question on the other side. Where do you put Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer? We'll continue to talk about the Celtics. I'm sure we're going to get back to Bill Belichick. We also need to get to the NFL draft because we are still basking in the glory, at least some of us, of this draft. The Patriots put out a great 7-minute video of Will Campbell's first day in New England. We got some more sound bites about what he'll do when he's cold. And just going to let you know, he'll sound a lot like Forrest Gump when he answers that question. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.